2 Kings chapter 19. Continue on looking at facing the threatening letters of the enemy, and you see a few different topics there tonight. And let's just start reading. That just works out better with this. In verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 19, you'll notice that the word of God does say this. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Again, Hezekiah being threatened by Sennacherib, and the magnitude of the threat of the enemy was so great that he tore his clothes in horror and agony and mourning, went sackcloth and ashes, and went into the house of the Lord. And that's always a good thing. You know, through the years as I've served the Lord, when people go through struggles, the first thing they go away from is the house of the Lord. You know, if someone's busy, they run out of time, the first thing that goes is church attendance. And in this trial, Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord, which is good. That's God's ordained place. It's not because, I don't know why. This is what he chose. He sent Eliakim, which is over the household of Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. And as you know, we've been looking at the day that prayer can make the difference. Because every day, what did Job say? Many and few have been the days of my sorrow or something like that. But Job said, man that's born of woman is full of something in trouble. And so we're going to be full of trouble, but there's an answer in that trouble. I remember Rome even is here. We were talking one day, one of the men's Bible studies, and the only difference between the Christian life and non-Christian life is both have trouble, but in Christ we have an answer, and we have a way to walk through the trouble, and there's a purpose for the trouble. But in this day, prayer really can make the difference, you know, and this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God had heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. So we'll look at tonight the threatening letters of the enemy. Each of us, as we go through different times in our life, if you're trying to go forward for God, it seems to be something that happens, a voice, it can be a non-audible voice, a fear within your heart that speaks something to you. And sometimes there'll actually be a person that when you try to go forward in faith, they'll say something to you. And where you've been taking your submissions, the things that you believe that are speaking against you when you try to take steps forward for Christ, and we're trying to answer with faith. You know, because my theme, hopefully for the rest of my life, is the victory is real. And 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, the word of God says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we're using the word of God tonight to get the victory, amen. Because that's what works, amen. I talked to somebody the other day, and I realized how incredibly simple this all is, and that sometimes when we go through something, we try to think our way through it, when we just need to look at what God said about the matter, and keep looking at what God said about the matter. You know, when you are going through a trial, stop thinking about it. Pray. You've heard me talk about that. Sometimes we think we're praying and we just think about the matter. And when you're looking at the Bible or something, and sometimes we can look at it and we can pull away and try to rationalize it, when really we just need to keep looking at it. And the more you read it and look at it, you'll be amazed, since the Word of God really is a living book. It really is alive. It'll take hold. Amen. It'll give the power that you need in a situation. Amen. So, all right. So we're going to go to a few verses here. We're going to pray first, because we can't do this without the Lord. My Father, Lord, I really just have to ask for help, because you already said we don't know how to pray as we ought. So Father, help us tonight for your glory's sake, for your name's sake, and for us to serve you in such a way that please you. In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Amen. Now, to look at the number one, the topic feet, you see one of the things submitted was you have tried to have victory over the sin before and it didn't work, just give in. One thing I say, thanks to everybody that submits something, because the Bible says that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, Satan, one thing he will try to make you believe that you're the only one. You know, I've been helped by everything everybody submitted, because somewhere along the line I've heard the same voice somewhere. And so I thank God for that. So God's using your humility to try to be a blessing and help. You think you're just getting help, but you're helping other people as well. Okay, you've tried to have the victory over this sin before and didn't work. You know, we know verses like a just man falls seven times, but he rises up again. We know verses, the righteous not be utterly cast down. I think Psalm 37, it talks about that. But when you've tried to have victory over something, and you've fallen, and you've fallen, and you've fallen, and it really didn't have to be a great number of times, but just enough times to where you hear the voice that says, just quit trying. And sometimes the source with that verse is, well, everybody else is doing the same thing, so you might as well just give in too. But we want to answer that from the Bible. The first verse I want you to read, just going to use the Bible. Romans chapter 6. We'll start there. Romans chapter 6. You know, it's amazing. Like, when you really start trying to answer biblical problems and sin problems with the Bible, it's like, wow, if you really just believe God, it just becomes so simple, you know? And that's why we really have to just take God at His word. But now, okay, when you have sin and you've repented and you don't want to walk in that sin anymore, here's a verse here referring, talking to people after they've been born again. Well, let's look at verse number one. Years ago, Keith Sampson, he was assistant pastor at that time, and I was directing a bus ministry and I was a youth pastor. We challenged each other. We memorized Romans chapter 6 together. Greatest thing I ever did in my life was memorize Romans chapter 6. I tell you, so many times, it's been a strength to me in a dark hour, and I thank God for Keith Sampson. But in Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, we know we're saved by grace, and if you understand about salvation positionally, you're saved forever. And so, God knowing our thoughts and knowing what Satan put before us, well, since we're saved, the moment we're saved, we're a child of God. We have eternal life that never changes. Well, the thought may cross, well, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? The answer is, verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're dead to that. We don't have to live that way anymore because of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's what amazing thought that is. We're buried, we're baptized into death, so that nature, that sin nature that had control of us, it's dead, no longer exists. We're not going to go the whole chapter tonight. We could, but I'd like to preach at midnight, but I might have to do the second half by myself. But verse 22, notice this. This is the verse I want you to do. As you think about if you've tried to have victory over something, and something says, just quit trying. It didn't work, just give in. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin. So if you're a child of God, let me ask you a question. When are you free from sin? According to the Bible right here. Now. Absolutely, now. And say it like you mean it. Now. Like you know. And so, now, if the Bible is true, and it is, now means now. So now is irrespective of what happened in the past. Now is irrespective of whatever failure you may have had of trying to overcome, or when you thought you're trying to overcome this sin, because maybe you were trying to do it in the flesh, maybe you were just trying to strong arm it. Well, you know, because in the world, it's amazing. You know, when you get saved, you find out you really have to live a spiritual life. And I'm amazed that when I was lost, there were certain things that I could just will myself to do, and I could do it. that after I got saved, there were certain spiritual things that I thought, actually, I could just will myself to do the same thing, but it wouldn't work. And the why is that? Because I'm a new creature now. I don't work by the same power source. I don't work by the same strength, you know. And even if I can will myself to do certain things, I lose the power behind it because pride comes with that. And then I don't get the fruit of the, I still don't have the peace on because I have to sustain it. Let me slow down. I feel like I'm talking fast. But now, okay, so Paul said the amazing statement. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth that was before. So God said, but now being made free from sin. And now that's a pretty powerful statement because it's, that means at this present time. So right now. Now, something that generally happens if you have struggled with sin before, or maybe just, okay, how many believe we're, our lives are supposed to be completely surrendered to God? Okay, well, I don't know about you, but when there's been more than one occasion that I've made that total surrender. Anybody ever did that before? And generally what comes with that, the Spirit of God will sometimes reveal something in your life that you have to surrender or a way you have to walk. And the thought may cross your mind, how will I ever keep that up? Anybody ever, did that ever hit anybody beside me? You know, okay, if I live the way that I believe God is telling me to live right now, how in the world will I ever keep doing it? Well, the answer is in this verse right here. Because you may say, well, how long do I have to do that? Well, the answer is now. Just now. Because whatever God called, you just have to do it right now. And guess what? Tomorrow there'll be another right now. Because see, Matthew 6:34 says, take no thought for the morrow, for the things of the morrow shall take thought of themselves. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So when you're looking at making that determination, that focus for God, you just do it now. The time that I'm sacrificially given and had bills to pay. God, one of my favorite stories, and I've told it before when I went to a revival meeting and back then I was having trouble checking accounts, so I cashed my check and just kept cash on me. And I can't remember, I can picture the evangelist's face, and he wasn't making a plea for money, but I knew they were going to take an offering at the church in the service. And I went down to I was praying because God spoke my heart during the message. And I said, Lord, how much do you want me to give? And the Spirit of God said, yes. And it's like I wanted to say, but Lord, you didn't hear my question. I said, how much? And I already knew the answer. And so I gave all of it. And we were driving home that day. And Susan goes, hey, can we stop to stop by the store and grab something on the way home? And I said, no, dear, actually, we can't. I said, what do you mean we can't? Didn't you just get paid? Yes, I did. Well, I said, God asked for the money. And it was over. She didn't fight with me. We didn't argue about it. We just went home and were content with whatever we had in the home. The reason that worked is because I had a decision for right now. And obviously, we're here today. God has taken care of us. God provided all our needs. And so we didn't die. We didn't lose any children by starvation. God took care of our needs. But see, and this is powerful because every step of obedience is a now step of obedience. You may have a measure of health, something God wants you to do for his namesake. And you think, man, there's no way I can keep up this pace. Well, God's not asking to keep up the pace. He's just asking, just do what he said right now. Being now made free from sin. Because if God asks you to do something, that would mean obedience would be the will of God. The opposite would be disobedience, which would be sin. If it's a sin habit or a sin struggle, and you're looking at that thing right now, God says being now made free from sin. And what you probably ought to do is that, okay, let's say when you're tempted, just open the Bible, this verse. Don't sit there and try to think and work yourself way through it. Just read it. Say now. I failed before, but according to the Bible, I don't have to do it right now. If you're having trouble with wicked thoughts, open the Bible up and look at the verse. See, don't think about it. Because whatsoever things are true, that's what we're supposed to think about. This is true. And so now, but now being made free from sin. And the word free is a powerful definition. It says mean being at liberty, not being under necessity or restraint. That means we're not in bondage, because sin is bondage. Because sometimes Satan will say, well, I can't get over this. Maybe you struggle with bitterness. I can't get past that. Yeah, you can, because now you're free. But now being made free. You made free, you just have to walk into freedom. And that walk may be repentance. And you can, because you're free, you can actually repent. It's not being under necessity or restraint, physical or moral, not obstructed, not enslaved. And this is the best one of all. This is good. Subject only to fixed laws. So when you're free, you're only subject to fixed laws. Well, what are the fixed laws? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, back to your left a little. If you don't get anything else, I'll probably say that 2 or 3 times, but get this. But in Matthew 24, now when we're free, and since the Bible says, and we read Romans chapter 6, verse, but now being made free from sin, become servants of God, have your fruit unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life. Now it says here, verse 35, Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So it sounds like God's word is a fixed law, right? That's the only thing we're subject to. Do you understand that? And you think of if you've been alive any period of time, all laws, even earthly laws, get changed. The laws that govern us in the world right now, if we live 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, they may completely change, depending on who's in power, depending on who's in authority. But heaven and earth shall pass away, but the words of God shall not pass away. So I'm free. I'm only subject to what the word of God says. I'm governed by this. So that being true, since I'm only subject to fixed laws, if I'm looking at my past history and struggles of sin, according to what the Bible says, I'm not subject to that history. I'm not in bondage to that history. I'm not enslaved by the history. I'm subject to what the law of God says, which said, but now being made free from sin. So I can walk in that freedom based on the authority of the fixed laws which I'm subject to, which is an eternal, inerrant, inspired word of God. That's good news. And 1 Peter 1. If someone wants to run around and shout, that's a good point there. It's okay. Nobody will stop you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, the now comes from this, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's so better than heaven and earth. Forever, the word of God. That's what we're subject to. This is why Peter and John, when they were under persecution, they could say, well, it'd be right in the sight of God to answer you, judge you. But they said, we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. They said, it may be against your laws for this preach in the name of Christ, but we can't help it. We're not in bondage. We're not enslaved by what you say. We're subject to the laws of God. And he told us in Acts 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. The word of God said we shall be witnesses, and it doesn't matter what these earthly laws say. We have to witness. That's what we're subject to. We're free to do that. That's what we're subject to. Amen. And for all, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And gospel means what? Amen. Good news. Amen. For good news is preached unto us. So now, if someone says, well, you've tried to have victory over that before, it didn't work, just say no now. And actually, don't speak to the voice, just speak to yourself. Remember the precept of being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You speak to yourself. I'm free now. I'm free now. I'm free now. I'm subject. What God says, this applies to me. I can do what God says. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me. Doesn't matter what I think of myself. God says I'm free right now. And I believe Him. And I'm subject to be empowered by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Right now. Not when you get strong enough and work yourself. No, right now. You're saved right now. You're a child. You're born. You're right now. Because God, excuse me, since He didn't put more in you than you can bear, what He asked you to do, He knows you can do it right now. That's what He does, because He's almighty. He's wise. Now, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James 4, verse number 7. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So this, your resisting is in the now. So you read, if they're right now, okay, right now at this present time, I'm done. I'm free from sin. Why? Because God said so. Because God's the one that has the power to say so. He saved me to say so. John 8:36, you can write this verse down. If the Son, therefore, should make you free, you shall be free indeed. And the Son, what's it say in Hebrews? And God, who in sundry times and divers places and times past spake unto the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. Son being the living Word. The Son, therefore, should make you free. I think it's Hebrews 1:1, maybe. So now, and God says, submit yourselves therefore to God. It's all about obedience. Just obey Him. Why? How come? Because you're free to obey Him. In John 8:44, before salvation, the Bible said, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. Although Jesus told the Pharisees, the religious people, the people that would justify themselves, that were self-righteous in themselves, He said, your father's the devil. You're going to do what your father says. But in Christ, no, you're free. But now, being made free from sin, you become servants unto righteousness, and you have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. Now, you're free. Now, you're at liberty. Now, you're not under necessity. He said, but I don't feel free. Well, keep reading the verse. And keep looking at the verse. But now. But now. And say, what did the Spirit of God say to you about your sin situation? And how many people believe God's almighty? So if you're saved, what did God say? What did God say about your sin? Romans 6. You're thinking. You're not thinking. Look at the verse. Let's turn back to Romans 6. Shout it. Say, let's hear it. Yeah, you. Whoever just said it. You're free from sin. When are you free from sin? But what if you don't feel free? When are you free from sin? Right now. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God. Well, how can you do that? Well, you submit yourself therefore to God. Now submit. And the devil will flee. I like the word flee, you know. Because sometimes we make the devil out to have so much power. And like, man, we like to blame the devil so we can excuse ourselves for doing dumb things and sinful things. God said, if you resist the devil, will you submit yourself therefore to God? You can submit to God because you're free when?
Now,
thank you. And you can submit now, and you can resist the devil because you're free when? And the devil will flee based on the authority of the Word of God. And we're subject to the fixed laws of God. And this is why throughout the ages, children of God. This is why people in other countries that are under intense persecution still boldly proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Because they know they're not subject to them. They know the laws of the land don't mean anything to them because they're subject to the fixed laws of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word shall not pass away. The reason, and this will help me a lot of other ways too, but we may hit that a different time. But anyway. And if we catch the magnitude even of that being free right now and being subject only to fixed laws, do you understand that's the power that you live by faith right there? Because this is the only thing you're governed by. This is why you don't have to cheat in business. Because God, you believe as a child of God, God will supply all your needs according to the riches and glory. Philippians, I think, 4:19. This is why you don't have to do things dishonestly, because you're subject to the fixed laws. In Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, but you don't understand my schedule, and I'm busy, and I have to take care of this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, because you're free to be subject to the laws of God. And if he's first, all these things shall be added unto you. Many people will never know what all things are like because they won't allow God to be first. And they may add many things themselves, but not all. Because it's amazing how you can be busy, and you can have a lot of things, but not have all things. But you know, that's why many people that are busy and have a lot of accumulation, they feel like something's missing because they don't have all things. They have some things, all things, but we can have all because we're free. So don't give in. Just say, I'm free right now. I don't have to give in. So whatever that sin is that you tried to have victory before, whether it be thoughts, whether it be actions, whether it be addictions, whatever the case may be, just the next time that thing is before you, just say, but now. And keep your, and I'm telling you, if you open your Bible, and this is why everything about our society fights against biblical knowledge. Even when you come to church, it's hard to concentrate. But everything fights against it because it works. You're bombarded all around. But if you'll take a Bible with you and say, but now, I'm free from sin right now. Don't think about it. Don't argue with God over it. Just read his word. But now, I'm free. But now, I'm free. That fear that you may be struggling with right now, but now, I'm free. Because, you know, fear is a sin. You know, we're talking in Revelation 21, the fearful. And unbelieving, pretty strong thing there. But now I'm free. But now I'm free. I'm not enslaved to that anymore. That doesn't control me. Many, many people's lives are governed by fear. Didn't have to be because now. If you're a child of God, if you're one of God's children, if you know you've been saved, you know you've been born again, now you're free. Now. When?
Now.
Not because I said it, but because God said it. And this is why you read it. And if you read it, and I'm telling you, I promise you, this is what's going to happen. Somebody's going to go home, because I'm sure this applied to more than one person. This has applied to me at times in my life. And you're going to start struggling. You're going to start thinking, does that really work? I'm not sure about that. And everything under the sun is going to fight you from keeping. All you can do is open the Word of God and read it. And if you open the Word of God and read it, now you'll be free. You don't have to worry about then, because it'll be now, right then. And every now, God will take care of it now. But you'll say, well, I don't feel this, or this is going on. No, just open the Word of God. Because, see, well, I don't have time. You know why you have time? Because the only thing you're subject to is the fixed laws of God. This is why through the years when I have revival meetings, I take time off work to make sure I was fresh so I could think during revival meetings. Sometimes I'd even take off the day before Sunday so I could be alert when I was at church, you know, because I need to hear from God. Now, because this is where the power comes from. And I'll tell you, I'm not telling you to live like me, but I'm telling you the Word of God is what works. And so whatever you need to do, according to what God said, you're free to do it, to live right now the life that he wants you to live. Because too many people are governed by the world itself. We're governed by the date the bills are due, the date the rent's due, family responsibilities, personal responsibilities. But now, the only thing you're subject to is the fixed laws of God. This is why it's absolutely essential that you slow down long enough to know what God wants you to do. Because what Satan is trying to do to all of us, he's trying to get us so wrapped up into a system, into something that where we think, man, I can't stop to find out what God's will is. No, yeah, you can. You know why? Because if you're saved, the only law that you're subject to is the law of God. You know what I believe? And you can work this out with me, the Lord. If you're wrapped into something right now, and the Spirit of God tells you to do what you need to do, take off work, to take care, to find out what the now is, God will take care of your work situation. Because I believe what I'm preaching. And my family can tell you, I've lived these things out. There's times when I remember working for a place, and they were doing ungodly business practices, and it was a terrible time to need a new job. But I knew the Christian integrity was on the line, and so I left the job with no job to go to. Because God said, leave right now. And God provided. We've never had a lot, but we've never done without. But now we can trust the Lord. And we need to, and so we can experience God taking care of us. And experience God filling us and sustaining us. Because right now we can be free. Anybody see what? Did I say something wrong? What did I say wrong? Absolutely. Because you're saved right now, you are free. Do you see? That's a small difference right there, but that's a powerful difference. Right now, we are free. Based on what God said. Not because it sounds good, because that's what he said. I mean, that is what it means. That is what. I mean, English was my strong. I don't always speak proper English, but I can write it well. But now, being made free, that's what it means. Does it mean free right now? Okay, amen. Anybody else pass English besides me? All right. We just want to make sure. Because see, the Bible, the scriptures are no private interpretation. See, this is one of the things Satan uses, because we want to think there's a private interpretation of the scriptures instead of this. No, there's what God said is what he meant, you know. Now you're free. Okay. Next threatening letter. Follow your dreams and make a name for yourself. Become somebody. And now, on my hand, I kind of divided this three different categories. And first thing I addressed was follow your dreams. You know, you're taught that pretty much. If you're in a public school system and you have a guidance counselor, if a child is young, they try to find out what the interests of the child are. And they try to find out what the child likes, what the child is interested in. And once they find what the child is interested in, they try to point the child in that direction of what they want. Now, that sounds good. Because you know why it sounds good? Because there are a lot of miserable people doing things you don't want to do. So now, earthly speaking and psychologically speaking, it sounds like a very good philosophy. But there's a problem with that. Let's tell you why. Open your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 17. And if you've been saved any period of time, it's a familiar verse to you. Now, I have to warn you, if you're a person that has confidence in your own personal thinking, you're not going to like these verses here. You know, because in North American culture, we are quite proud of our thinking. We're quite proud of what we do. And we're proud of our power of choice. You know, I was listening to some other day, and I really got frustrated. I was listening to a talk radio, and it was one of these. They were arguing about sanctions, and one of these. It might have been ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, or one of these. So-called Christians think to fight for rights of Christians. And that sounds good and noble, but, you know, I was thinking Christian Law Association, they represent Christians when they're going through trials and cases and things like that, and when the government seemed to be against them. And it kind of seemed like noble ventures when they do that, but, I mean, I'm thinking, now, when Jesus explained to Peter, that he was going to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world, Peter said, "Far be it from thee, Lord." And anybody remember what Jesus said to Peter about that? And what did he say? Yeah, get thee behind me, Satan. So he's telling Peter, for you to try to work a cause, for you to work on my behalf, to try to protect my rights and preserve me from going to the cross, no, that's the things that be of men, not the things that be of God. And because see, our way of thinking is self-preservation. But John 12 said, except a corn be fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, bring it forth much fruit. And it's contrary to earthly thinking. Now, Jeremiah 17:9, notice what the word of God says here. So when you think about following your dreams, when I think about following my dreams, and we all have vision of things what we envision, the heart is deceitful. Now, this is a powerful verse. I used to preach this verse for years, and it finally hit me one day when I really thought about what this verse was saying. Because now we blame a lot on the devil, don't we? But this verse says here there's something even more deceitful than the devil is. Your heart, my heart, is deceitful above all things. Because remember, Satan is a created being, right? So that would make him a thing. So my heart, your heart, is deceitful above all things. And not just deceitful, it's not just wicked, but your heart, my heart, is desperately wicked. So why would I want to follow something that originated in here? I mean, it feels good. Of course, hey, follow your dreams. And we all want to. I mean, I had so many childhood dreams, and honestly, even in ministry, I've had dreams, and they weren't bad things, but everything has to be filtered through God. Because he's the one that establishes the right thinking. Now, where are we at? Verse 9, he says, for the heart is deceitful above all things. So you, next time this happens, so don't, you just say, heart, you're a liar. Heart, I can't trust you. the heart is deceitful above all things. Now if you know God and you trust God, then you can deal with this. But so when you really haven't got to know him, it can be kind of difficult to think about. Well, you telling me not to follow myself? Now, please understand, I'm not telling you to follow me. Because sometimes people hear stuff like that and they say, well, you just want to tell us what to do. No, 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 no. No, no, no. I want you to know God for yourself. And if you're saved by the grace of God, the one thing you know for sure, you know the sound of that voice that called you unto salvation and that you said yes to and you submitted to. You know that voice, amen. And you base everything else in your life upon that same voice. And so you know when you read the word of God, if the spirit of God burns in your heart, you know when the word of God says, that's for you. and nobody else can tell you that. And you know you can fight and you can claw, you can scratch. But when the spirit of God hits you like that, you go, oh, well, I can't argue with that. But anyway, where are we at? Verse, and who can know it? I mean, who can really understand it? Who can know? Who can really figure it out? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even, why does he do it? Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, if the heart's deceitful, and God says he tries the reins of our heart, and he wants to give to us according to our ways, then what's the answer? Well, his ways need to become my ways. So I need God's heart in the matter. I need the way God thinks about the situation. And so Jesus said very simply, he said to follow me. It took a while to understand that Jesus didn't say be like me. He said follow me. And Jesus, he lived his entire earthly life to do what? The will of the Father. What was his earthly climax of everything he was doing? He followed will the whole time. But what was the goal? What was the end of his earthly life? To die. So he lived his entire earthly existence to be non-existent. Why? So whatsoever ask in my name, that will do that the Father may be glorified through the Son. That's what John the Baptist said. He must increase, but I must decrease. That was the life that Jesus lived. Even when he did a miracle, he said, don't tell anybody. Imagine that. May I, God just help somebody in church. I kind of struggle. Hey, I want to let them know what's going on down here. Amen. Sometimes just for the right reason. Sometimes because, you know, I just wish people would trust God. I wish people, again, would believe that God is supernatural. I mean, it breaks my heart for people to go through issues and to work their own situation out of their own life again and again and again as if there is no God. That's heartbreaking for me. When the Bible says he's a very present help in trouble, that means he can help. God didn't just sit, God, you know, some people think, well, God's present in trouble. He just said to comfort me while I work it out myself. No. That's where we live, though. But so we need God's heart about the matter. Turn to, hold your, you can probably let it go. Proverbs 14. Thank God for the word of God. Notice the Bible says in verse number 12. Proverbs 14:12. This is a verse repeated several different times in the Bible, actually. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So Satan would say, follow your dreams, and it seems right to follow your dreams. Doesn't seem like a bad thing. Why should anybody else tell you what to do? Right? Why should you follow anybody else's dreams or expectations for your life? Well, that part is true. But you need to follow God's plan for your life because God is love, and God has the best plan for you. There's a way that seems right, but doesn't mean it is right. I had another verse here, but I only wrote down part of it, so we'll quit with that one. Let me look for a second. If I think about it, I'll share it. But keeping the thought, as we follow Christ, we don't have to follow a way that seems right. We don't have to follow a way because Jesus is the way. We follow him and we do the things that the Heavenly Father would want us to do. We follow his example of servitude. Jesus was a servant in every stretch of imagination. Second thing under make a name for yourself. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Now this is where really all the problems of mankind began. And you know, we're taught to, and honestly, I've come to realize this more really personally, Isaiah chapter 14, that this is something that really infiltrates Christianity and ministry, because, you know, sometimes I know some of the church planting books that I've read, what you're supposed to do, you want to create the right image, and you want to create a spirit of influence that'll draw people. And so it almost kind of gives you the idea that you kind of want to make a name so people are drawn to your name, which in and of itself doesn't sound bad, but that's not spiritual either. And in Isaiah 14, our adversary, we see how all his troubles began, which is kind of our troubles. Isaiah 14, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. It's all about, I'm going to lift myself up. This was Satan's agenda. And this is why we battle that. Everything we watch, all the media, is about people being exalted and lifted up. You know, people aren't really, really praised too much for being humble that nobody knows anything about, are they? You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, about one of the prophets, and he had that secret errand, and he took the oil that went in. I can't remember which king he was. He went in and have a secret errand, anointed him, and ran away, you know. No, you never know his name, you know, but he was mentioned in the Bible, in the eternal word of God, you know. And so, but Satan is like, I will exalt, I will ascend. You know, one of the things that I really, since I'm black or African American, depending on what group I'm standing in, to make them feel happy. one of the things that's really damaged all the people is us being taught that we're trying to put ourselves up in the culture. Now, I'm for treating every human being the way God would treat every human being. The Bible said we should love our neighbors ourselves. So that's pretty simple. I mean, it doesn't say anything about race, color, creed. It says love your neighbors yourself. That covers it all. There's no room in the Word of God for racism. But the way it's taught from a lot of these groups is continually looking for whatever your minority is, minority have their place in society. For a minority to be recognized, you know, because, you know, they got all the achievements here. Well, you know, is it February? We passed through Black History Month. I wish every month ought to be Jesus History Month. Because that's the one that changes everything, you know. Now, God made me black, so I'm not mad about it. He knew what he was doing. You know, there's things I learned, but what I'm trying to say is that mindset of that we got to get somewhere. We got to get somewhere. That's the wrong mindset. That's the wrong way of thinking. The wrong way of thinking is my Savior was a servant. My Savior was the most powerful, almighty, perfect being that ever will be, that can ever be. And he chose to humble himself and walk in flesh, robed himself in flesh, to be a servant, to even get to a place where he would wash his own disciples' feet. That's my Savior, the one that died for me. You know what made a name for him? His service made a name. And if you look at it, he wasn't trying to exalt himself. I mean, I was thinking about this, and these are the kind of questions I ask myself, you know. Okay, make a name for yourself. What kind of pastor do I want to be? Would I be satisfied being known as the pastor of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people? Is that a big enough name? If I'm in the will of God, it is. That's the only name I got to have. What kind of church do you want to be a member of? You want to be a member of a church that's really known in the community? Or do you just want to know God and walk with God and be content to be a servant of his and yet your identity come from him? And that's enough. Now, the Bible tells us to preach the gospel to every creature. Again, so we're subject to every law, so that means we can do that. That's our goal. So the mandate is to be led of the Spirit. So every single person in this room is a laborer to somehow be used of God to be helping get the gospel to every creature. So that's our focus, our emphasis. We teach all nations, baptize, and those things come, but we just abide faithful. Not for the name, but just to lift up his name. Because verse 12 again, how hath our fallen? He fell because I want to be greater. Lord, you created me in a certain role, a certain position, but I want to be greater than what you created me to do. And we're all called to be like Jesus Christ. Well, I want better than that. I don't want to have to live as a servant. Well, let me turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Because, you know, I've been to university and somebody taking classes, they don't really train you to go get a degree to go. Some of the humanitarian courses they might now, but the goal is to lift yourself up to be somebody. If you become somebody, then you can really influence the world. You know, that's where compromise sets in too. Matthew 23, verse 8. We'll start there. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. Only one master, that's Christ. And all your brethren, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ in here. I'm not a master of anything. I'm just a servant like you guys are. And call no man father upon your earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever will exalt himself shall be abased. I've been saying a lot recently because it's heartbreaking. Isn't it amazing the tremendous number of famous people, more and more, that are committing suicide? To me, it just seemed like there's more than ever before. Or the last year, some Canadian actor was 20-something years old, 26, 27, suicide. Good career, made a movie. I think he killed himself around the Toronto Film Festival time or something. And these people that are exalted themselves, they're being abased. God doesn't want that to happen. Abased means reduced to a low state, humbled or downgraded. God really wants to lift you up. He said, just trust me. He said, because you know, God can lift you up better than you can lift yourself up. And God can lift me up better than I can lift myself up. Just like I was saying before, you know I have a good life? Because I don't have a life. Christ is my life. And that filters out to my family. And then that filters out to the church. And that filters out to the neighborhood. That's my priorities. People ask me, what hobbies do you have? Close thing I have to a hobby is playing basketball with my boys. And most of the time when they don't go, I don't go. And I'm not criticizing you have a hobby, but I'm just saying I've got it good because Christ is my life and my wife is my life and my children are my life and the ministry is my life. Serving is my life. I enjoy serving. I didn't always because I kept looking for God to turn the corner on it, but now just my Savior, you know, when did his serving turn the corner? When, as far as earthly speaking, when did Jesus' service turn the corner on him? Cross. That's when he finally was rewarded for all his miracles, for all his love, for all his compassion, for all his patience, for all his forgiveness. Go and sin no more. He told the woman, and they said, "Well, you know, we just can't. We ain't seen anybody like you. We got to get rid of you." You know, this is why I believe so strongly that if we'll just serve God and stand for the name of Christ, that'll scare people half to death. I mean, to really live like Jesus did and to not be concerned about anything except but doing the will of the Heavenly Father, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and then our neighbor as ourself. Do you know why you have a job? You have a job for the glory of the Father and for your neighbor. If according to what Jesus said the great commandment is. You know why you have health? For the glory of the Father and for your neighbor? To love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's two things. Do you know why you have anything at all? Is for the glory of God and for your neighbor. Because that's exactly the way Jesus lived. You know what? And you know what? Jesus didn't make a name for himself. The Bible says that he was given a name that's above every name. If you live like that, God will give you a name. But he'll give you something better than a name. He'll give you himself. Because the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And it says somewhere, and I will be a father to you. You experience God as the Father like you never had before. And a good Father provides. A good Father comforts. A good Father protects. A good Father embraces his children. A good Father does everything he can just to keep him in the will. Keep him in his will. That's what a good father does. Don't make a name for yourself. And I used to live for that. And like I said, I struggled with that sometime in the ministry. Even think, could I bought into that, you know, that I got to become somebody, you know. And, you know, there's people, I'm known some places, but mostly it's because I gave up trying to be known, just trying to serve. And to God be the glory. Last thing on this part, I really like to cover all these because, man, this hope you come next week. But because the last one and this one is so incredibly closely related, it just, we'll see here. But become somebody. This one verse here, we could probably go to several. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse, let's start reading, we're right down here. Oh, this is good. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware. That's what we're really dealing with. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, that's what we're trying to free ourselves from, religious thinking, traditions of men. And tradition of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. If you're saved, what is God telling you about yourself right now? Pardon me? Can somebody use a personal pronoun? What is he telling you?
I am
complete. So you're already somebody. You're complete. What do you have to prove to anybody? What do you have to prove to yourself? What do you have to prove to your family? What do you have to prove to your relatives? If you're complete, you're complete, aren't you? I should look through the verse, but I think we should write without deficiency or something like that. Well, you know, the Spirit of God told you what it means. So it's going to have definition, but it's best when the Holy Ghost just says, yes. So next time you think, well, you know, I just don't feel like I've accomplished much in my life. Open your Bible up and see what God told you about yourself if you're saved. So what else do you really need to do in life? If the Bible is true, what else do you really need to accomplish in life right now? What promotion do you need? What job do you need? What status in life do you need? If the Bible is true, what else do I need? What else do I need to do as a preacher? What else do I need to do as a, what else do I have to do to show that I've done anything? No, because I'm complete. Only thing I can do is just be an obedient servant. Because I want to thank him. You know why I want to be obedient? To thank him for making me complete. Thank you for making me free. Woo! I was going to jump, but I saw the wall right there. Well, I hope everybody gets this tonight. I hope I get this. I got it right now, but you know, you know why we're doing this? Because you're going to leave here and the same voices will start again. And I'm telling you, the answer is, open up your Bible and just look at it. And I wouldn't leave till you get it. Lord, I'm complete. Yeah, but you know, I need to do this first in life. You know, my family expects this. But I am complete. Father, since I'm complete, Lord, what else would you want me to do? Because now think about this, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you know what? This is what people generally do in life. They do what they do, they do, they do. And then finally they get to a point when they think they're complete. Know what they do? They settle down, don't they? They kind of hit a point of rest, don't they? God says that's right now. You're complete right now. So all you have to do is be, remember, because you're free, you're subject only to fixed laws. So you're free to do whatever God wants you to do. You don't have to prove anything to anybody anymore. You don't have to be anything anymore. All you have to do is to be an obedient servant to the Lord. And you can do that right now. Because you're free right now. And as far as the name, you're complete. In fact, God said, the Bible said, behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So you actually have a name. You've got the name that goes back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're a son or a daughter. you're your son or a daughter of royalty. He made you to know you, to walk with you. So, what else do you need? Why would you? So it sounds like a pretty deceptive lie of Satan. So they follow your dreams. Because that's what Satan did, and that's why we got all the trouble. Because he talked to Adam and Eve and thinking they weren't complete. Thinking that they could become something. And then it all went downhill from there. Well, everybody needs to go. I really need to finish this and this one anyway. And if anybody needs to go, you want to finish if you have a schedule. But I think it would be better to leave totally free tonight. I think God tied all these three together for a reason. Number three, you can't really put your past forgiven sins behind you. And the reason this is so closely related, because the authority of the sins forgiven is by the one that made you free. And now turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I knew that verse was in there somewhere. I was just thinking about it. Hebrews chapter 1. I may just go over this roughly. I may review it as we go through a few next week. But Hebrews 1. A God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Okay, threatening thing number one, you can't really put your past sins behind you or troubled by past sins. That can manifest itself in a lot of different ways, you know. It's funny, this one came up a few weeks ago. A few months ago, I was away spending the day praying. And God told me the secret to the ministry is believing in his forgiveness. Because I got to believe it for me, so I can go forward without being double-minded, worrying about how I've failed. And I got to believe it for every single person I come in contact with, that God can forgive them and change them. And that's why this is a significant thing. You can't really put it behind you, but God, the Bible says that he, referring to Jesus Christ, by himself purged our sins. So God didn't use my help to purge my sins. He didn't use your help to purge your sins. God by himself, that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, that when he had by himself purged our sins. Purge means purified. It means cleansed. It means evacuated. Of course, cleansed means made clean. It also means healed. Evacuated. Now, this is getting gooder. Evacuated means emptied. God emptied our sins. If something emptied, there's nothing inside, is it? They're gone. I mean, he's cleared. Emptied means cleared. When God forgave your sins, when he by himself purged your sins, he cleared them away. Freed from the contents. Ejected. Removed them. When a pilot ejects from a plane, he's no longer connected to the plane. Catch that. That means those sins he forgave you from, they're no longer connected to you. Discharged. Vacated. When a building is vacant, nobody's home. When God vacates your sins are home. Now, for me, and I don't know if I'll say something, it may be relative to me, but I find that a lot of struggle with sin is because we really have a greater fear of man than we do of God. Because sometimes when it is past sins, we can't get over how they affected other people. Or maybe if you have hidden sins, you wonder what if somebody knows about those sins, and what will people judge you? I mean, think about it. Can we tell the truth in church for a minute? Would anybody really want right now, if we could take this board right here, and have just every thought you've had in your mind, just while you're in church now? Let's try to be just while you're in church. Let's at least make it better. But just the ones in church.
any church. Would you be comfortable having every thought that came to your mind just while you were in the house of God?
Now, you know why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things.
And it's desperately wicked. But surely, Pastor Harp, we all think holy and clean, and we never have think anything bad. We're in the house of God.
But see, the reality is, God knows who we are. And once you're saved, if you're his child, he's seen it all, heard it all. And he didn't say, man, I can't believe you. He just said, you need more of me. And see, if we could ever really get that, see, all of us will minister to a lot more people. Because it would break down a lot of our stigma and a lot of our false image that we feel like we got to portray. And we could just be real. Do we understand that the God that God used to write half the New Testament was a murderer before he was saved? And we think certain people can't be used, but he was a murderer, and he was a Christian butcherer, the Apostle Paul. And God used him in a mighty way. So what could you have done that where God can't use you right now? And when he purged them, he evacuated them. The Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of God. But see, religion has caused us to magnify certain sins above other sins. And now, clearly, there are different earthly consequences for different sins. That's a fact. There are just different earthly consequences. However, again, we read about a murderer that God used in a mighty way. And so do we understand the magnitude of the power when God cleanses a vessel? You know what he did to Paul? He cleansed that murder off his record. He came to town and knew he was a murderer. Is this not the one that used to imprison everybody? However the Bible says that. But when he spoke, the presence of the God of heaven resonated from him. And overshadowed all that he did in the past. Paul was freed from that. They wanted to murder him later for the name of Christ. 5 times. See, 39, 40 stripes, save one. Purged. Healed. Emptied. Ejected. Discharged. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. When are your past sins behind you? No. Thank you. Thank you. That's why it's connected. Now. Romans 8. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, man. It's like God works through his people. I mean, I hope y'all go somewhere and just shout. I can't believe God's this good. Romans chapter 8. Familiar verses, probably not. But we'll make them familiar now. There is therefore, oh wow, now, no condemnation. I didn't even plan that. I just saw that right now. Woo! I guess I'm just slow, but it works good for me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's now no condemnation. Now you say, well, but it says that who walk after the flesh, after the Spirit, where your conscience will condemn you for what you're doing right now, but the past, that's gone. There's no condemnation because you're in Christ. I like the old preacher said, I'm hid in Christ and the devil can't find me. Now there's no condemnation. Doesn't matter what the past is. God's not concerned about that. He purged you from that. He purged you. Do you understand? He purged you from that. He took care of that. He knew what the past was. He purged you from that. Wiped those things away by himself. See, if I'd have helped him, I wouldn't have got it all.
I would interfere in the process, but God did it all by himself to make sure the job was completely done perfectly. Amen. And he did it all by himself, so no religious person could have any say in the matter, because he did it by his own supernatural power. And understanding the mind of God, well, we can't completely understand it, but somehow within the mind of God, he's able to wash those things away, because it also says in Hebrews, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Imagine that, just cleansed, amen, down the drain, gone. No condemnation. Free. Right now. Why are you freed right now? Because why are you, your past sins behind you? Because again, because since you're free, you're only subject to the fixed laws of God. And the fixed laws say there's no condemnation now. The fixed laws say that he by himself purged your sins. Didn't say he purged part of them, did it? He purged the sins. All of them. Colossians chapter 1. We're about done here. If the flesh is getting weak. But the good thing is, the Spirit's willing. So just submit to the Spirit, you'll get it all. Even the flesh is weak. I preached it some time ago. The most powerful truth I ever really came across. Yeah, the flesh is weak, but the Spirit's willing. The Spirit's more powerful than the flesh. Just yield to the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. They might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, you can do that because you're free right now. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. It sound like that's already done, right? Amen. He delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, forgiveness, I won't go through the whole definition, but when you forgive somebody, you treat the offender as not guilty. That's true forgiveness. When you forgive somebody that you forgave, they're not guilty, and so they never did it. And when God purged your sins, he forgave you. And you start, Lord, you know, see, things like this sometimes, we really show our love for the world. And maybe it's never happened to anybody besides me, but I thought, if I just hadn't did that so many years ago, I could be in this situation, I could did this better for the Lord right now, if I hadn't wasted that time back there. And God just says, what are you talking about? Would you just stop? He said, you're free from what you did back then. I'm not looking for you to go back in time and make up for this so you can have a better earthly stage right now. I'm looking for you to submit to me right now and trust me, and everybody that knows you, if you trust me, will see your power to work in one of my children when? Right now. And that's what did David say? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. People are fainting because they don't see God's goodness in God's people right now. That's what he wants. That's why these are so important. Because these are things that Satan speaks to try to keep you from trusting God right now. Where are we at? Verse 14. Whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And here it is again. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet, oh wait, man, it's there again, isn't it? Yet when hath he reconciled?
Now,
right now. So the blood of his son made peace. And he wants you to live in that peace, because whatever you did back here that separated you from God, because the Bible says, but your iniquities have separated you from him. He purged you by himself. So right now, you're reconciled. In Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter 3, verse number 14. And I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. So if he did it now, he did it forever. What a God. Peace. He wants you to walk in that peace because he took care of that stuff back there. That's what he said, don't. Forgetting those things that are behind. Why? Why forget those things? Why forget those things which are behind? Because God already forgot them. The hint, their sins and iniquities, I remember no more. So do what God did. Forget them. Reach forth and press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why can you do that? Because you're free right
now.
God is amazing. Do you understand? God has given us a great life to live. And it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter how many people even name the name of Christ and may try to discourage you and say, you can't. The Bible truly says you can. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Remission. You repent and the sins are in remission. That means they don't have no power anymore. Religion says repentance and hanging around, I guess. I don't know. God says those things are in remission. What's that old song? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart a song buried in the deep blue sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally, praise God. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Guess y'all don't know that one? But at least you know now, right? Father, Lord, I'd like to do something to really drive it home, but that would mess it all up. I trust your Holy Spirit to do the work that you set out to do. Lord, I pray in these closing moments, if there's anybody still on the fence about the power of your victory over sin, if there's anyone still on the fence about your power over who should be control of their life and who's that you follow, if there's anybody still on the fence about their past sins, would you put that to rest right now? Thank you for Jesus Christ, who gives us a great privilege to talk to you in prayer.